Following the catastrophic bushfire season in Australia, experts are calling for an independent national expert committee on air pollution and health protection to be urgently established. Its role would be to support environmental health decision-making in Australia. In a paper published by the Medical Journal of Australia, the experts also warn that Australia can't wait for the results of the Bushfires Royal Commission to act on this vital health issue. To find out more about the proposal, I'm speaking to Professor Sotiris Vardalakis, Professor of Global Environmental Health at the Australian University. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
A Royal Commission into the bushfires has been initiated. So why do you and your colleagues call for the urgent establishment of a national expert committee on air pollution and health protection?
We are calling for an independent national expert committee on air pollution and health protection, which is going to focus on bushfire smoke, but not only. We'll be looking at other sources of pollution. We know that we had an unprecedented bushfire season, a lot of smoke affecting large population centers over weeks and months. However, air pollution is an issue in cities across Australia. We know that around 2% of all deaths in Australia are attributable to air pollution from all sources, and that translates to around 2,800 deaths per year. So it's a significant impact on public health. And this is outside the bushfire season. So we're talking about pollution coming from road transport, industry, construction, power generation, etc. So air pollution doesn't recognize borders. So we travel long distance, as we've seen with the bushfire smoke in the past few months. And we need to be better prepared to protect ourselves, to protect the population from the smoke, but also from other sources of air pollution.
With the call for the expert and qualified committee using evidence-based, accurate and practical advice as a perfect benchmark, what is the current situation and how far have we got to go to get to that outcome?
During the bushfire season, there was advice for health protection from the smoke. We realized that some of this advice was impractical or inconsistent because it was based on experience from brief air pollution episodes from bushfires, which didn't last for that long and didn't affect very large population centers. So some of this advice of staying indoors or reducing physical exercise was impractical because the smoke lingered for much longer over our cities. So we believe that we need more specific advice, advice which is tailored to longer air pollution events that last for more than just a few hours or a few days. We need advice which is balanced, doesn't cause panic or alarm, but help us reduce our personal exposure to smoke, our personal exposure to air pollution, by managing our daily activities in a way that reduces our exposure when the pollution is at its peak, and also help us maintain some normality in our daily activities. For example, we know that there are periods of time during the day when air pollution is lower, so we recommend that people use this time window to go outdoors, exercise, carry on with their daily activities, and then stay indoors when air pollution is at higher levels, and use air conditioning in recirculate mode or use an air purifier to avoid exposure to pollution. And then eventually we also need to ventilate our houses, and we need to know when is the best time to do that. So again, access to real-time air quality information and health advice will help us identify these time windows when it's good to ventilate our houses and make sure that indoor air quality is also good.
With this sort of call for information to going out to the population, is something like bushfire advice, good bushfire advice, would that form something like part of a weather report in the evening news?
I think there is a need for more consistent and practical advice across states and territories. We need to have this advice accessible for different population groups. So for some groups, advice through the media or advice, online advice or through mobile apps will be suitable. But there are also population groups which might not have access to this kind of information, and we need more traditional ways of communicating this advice. So, for example, the Australian National University has produced a set of fact sheets on bushfire smoke and health. with infographics that are visually very appealing. People can print them out, download them, print them out. We have distributed them to schools and libraries and community centers. So there are different ways of reaching out to different audiences. And also what we've done with our advice, it was to translate it into multiple languages and make sure that the way it is framed is appropriate for different population groups, including minorities, refugee groups, and of course, Aboriginal groups.
Now, what do you think could be the possible impediments to setting up such a committee? Because we've always got arguments amongst governments, different jurisdictions, funding levels. Do you think that that could slow things down?
I think there is a need for a national government of experts, which will provide the consistency across jurisdictions, across states and territories. What we've seen in recent months and weeks is that some of the advice is inconsistent across territories. We've seen that the health messaging in some cases was not consistent, and also the way the air quality data were presented was not consistent across the different parts of the country. So we think that this national expert committee, which is going to be independent from government, is going to bring this much-needed consistency. It will provide practical advice, and also will provide advice for specific population groups, including sensitive groups of people, people with existing lung and heart conditions, information and advice for parents of young children, elderly people who have less capacity to protect themselves from bushfire smoke, and also outdoor workers and minority groups. We think that it's important to have this kind of advice. For example, that could help us plan our daily activities, but also will help authorities and companies to plan outdoor work. It will help schools to decide when to keep the children indoors when air pollution is high, and also the planning of sporting events, so that will help managers to decide when air pollution is too high and a sporting event might need to be postponed. So we think that there is a lot to be done in this area, and this committee, which shouldn't cost too much to the government, will provide this necessary consistency and practical advice across the board.
Now, one of the major points that you raised in your material was the huge public concern about exposure to atmospheric particulate matter. Could you describe the health effects that derive from atmospheric particulate matter?
Our main concern in relation to smoke is the very small particles which are contained in the bushfire smoke. They are emitted from the fire at very high temperatures, and they can travel very long distances. So when we breathe in these very fine particles, they are so small that they can penetrate very deeply into our lungs, into our respiratory system. And the very tiny particles, the smaller particles, can also translocate into the bloodstream, and they are circulated around our body, and they can cause inflammation, and this can have knock-on effects on various organs of our system. So they can cause effects on respiratory health. Of course, they can aggravate conditions like asthma, emphysema, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, but also they can aggravate cardiac disease, the risk of angina, chest pain, and also the risk of having heart palpitations. So these tiny particles can have multiple effects on health, and we need to make sure that we minimize our exposure, especially important for people who have a pre-existing illness and those who are sensitive to air pollution, either because of their age. We know, for example, that young children breathe in much more air per body weight. They're more active. They spend more time outdoors. And, of course, their lungs are developing, are still growing. So it's important to reduce exposure to air pollution for those population groups. And also, of course, the other groups like pregnant women, which are sensitive to air pollution, the window of exposure is more important for them during the pregnancy period. And it's important for these sensitive groups to minimize their exposure as much as possible.
Taking the outcomes in the health area from the recent bushfire season, How did that affect mortality rates?
We still don't know exactly how much the impact is going to be on mortality rates. However, we have seen some increases in hospitalizations, emergency hospital visits, and also GP consultations. So it is likely that we'll see some increase in surveillance indicators, as I mentioned, but also we know from previous studies that when air pollution is high, when bushfire smoke is high, we know that mortality rates increase in big cities. So we've seen studies from Sydney and New South Wales, for example, looking at mortality data over a number of years, which identified an increase in daily mortality when the bushfire smoke was at highest level.
Have you had any feedback yet on your proposal?
We believe that the proposal is attractive to government. We had some positive feedback from government, informal, and also the health minister Greg Hunt made a statement welcoming our paper. So we believe that this is a sensible and attractive proposition. As I said, it's not going to cost a huge amount of money to the government and will provide much-needed consistency and practical advice. And also it will help identify research gaps and develop the evidence which is needed to protect protect ourselves from bushfire smoke and air pollution more broadly. The bushfire season we experienced last summer is obviously an unprecedented event. However, we believe that under climate change conditions, with the climate becoming much hotter and drier, we are likely to see more of these extreme fire weather conditions in the future. And that is likely to cause more bushfires and bushfire smoke. And that's why we believe that we need to be better prepared in the future. We need to have expert advice. And this is what this expert committee on air pollution and health protection is going to provide, the expert advice to protect the population from smoke and other sources of air pollution in the context of a climate changing quite rapidly due to greenhouse gas emissions and carbon emissions emitted from all sectors. So we need to be aware of the underlying causes of this very intense and prolonged bushfire season and take action to mitigate climate change, in addition, of course, to the advice that we provide for preparedness and response in the short term.